again. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Welcome, brothers and sisters, to our class today. This will be the, tenth class in this study of fear and fear of the Lord. This is the third study in the letter F in the ABCs of Christian Growth entitled Fear and Fear of the Lord. We've studied quite a few things in the Scriptures and the Scriptures alone concerning fear and fear of the Lord. We found out quite a bit of truth, haven't we? And real truth. Not what the world says about fear and fear of the Lord. The world's got different ideas, and the devil's got different ideas, and this flesh has got different ideas about what fear is and fear of the Lord. There's confusion in all that mess. But not with the Lord, and not with His Word. His Word tells us the truth concerning anything that we study, and that's why we're studying it. Thank you for coming in today. We're going to get back into our study of fear and fear of the Lord. The last class that we had and held and came together around was scriptural examples of fearing God. We found out that Noah feared God, that there are indeed patriarchs in the Scripture and history, and the Bible's a history book. Everything the Bible tells you is factual. It's things that have taken place, are taking place, and that are going to take place. The Bible is not only a factual book, a history book, and God's words, but they're prophecy. They tell you what's going to happen before it happens, and then when it comes to pass, it tells you that it did happen. I mean, but they're God's words, and the Bible says that it liveth. It's the only book in existence that is alive. It's God's words. And God's words liveth and abideth forever. Now, you explain that any other way. When it says liveth, what does that mean? It means they are alive. Liveth and abideth forever. The Bible says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. And now if that's the case with a man's tongue and a man's words, death and life having to do with words, why wouldn't it be that a supernatural being could have words that are alive and that have power enough behind them, that have power, not enough, but power behind them to do exactly what He says and His wishes. In the beginning, God said, let there be light. And there was light. The words that God spoke. And it's interesting to find out also that Jesus Christ was the Word before He became flesh. When Jesus Christ was in the Godhead before the incarnation, when He came down and incarnated Himself into Mary and became a human being, before He did that, He was the Word of God. He is still the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten Son of God. Isn't that neat? God's words are nothing to be played with or toyed with. And that's why we come together around them and them alone, because we reverence them and we love them and we know that they live. It's not a waste of time for us to come together around God's Word. God's Word works in us and it does things and helps us and encourages us and does supernatural things whenever we're around God's words. Amen? All right. Good introduction. Noah feared God, Abraham feared God. Jacob feared God. Joseph feared God. David feared God. Obadiah feared God. And Job did also. Nehemiah feared God. All of our brothers and sisters at the beginning of the book of Acts, when the church began, all of our brothers and sisters from the very first born-again child of God in the church, all the way up to us, feared God. The Apostle Paul feared God. We studied all that. We've seen the scriptures that told us so. Today we're going to go into another topic, not fear, not fear of the Lord, but fearlessness, and find out how fearlessness, you say, Brother TV, what do you mean fearlessness? Not fearing. Not fearing. You say, well, I thought that's what we were studying was to fear. No. We're studying the truth around fear and fear of the Lord. And fearlessness and not fearing is a part of the truth of what the scriptures teach concerning fear and fear of the Lord. Not fearing. Not fearing. You know, fear is powerful. We need to understand that God could. Now listen to this. We need to understand that God could and has the power, if He so chooses, to make everyone and everything fear, be scared, and frightened, shake, tremble, respect, reverence, and just flat out quake in their skin if that's what He wished to do and be like. But that's not the approach that the Lord takes with the subject of fear as the Holy Scriptures reveal Him. He didn't take that approach. He could do anything He wanted to do when it comes to the topic and the truth of fear. God could make you scared of Him if He wanted to. But that's not the approach that the Scriptures teach us that God takes concerning fear and fear of the Lord. Now, along with being scared of God, and we learn that the Bible does teach that we are to be scared of Him at times, and to fear Him, and to reverence Him, and to honor Him, and honor His majesty, and all those things that we learned. But in the Scriptures also it teaches us that there are some things not to be feared. That fearlessness, not fearing, is okay. And is taught in the Scriptures. You say, well, am I to fear or am I not to fear? Both are true. You see, we have to understand God is God. Just His being is naturally to be feared in all aspects of fear. Do you really think that when you enter into the presence of God that you will not encounter fear in some way? Only a fool would think something like that. There are probably some idiots in the human race, and I don't doubt it one bit, and other forms of life, for instance, Satan and the devils and unclean spirits and all that sort of life, that think that they can get away without fearing the Lord and will try to their own demise. But anyone else who believes gives the Lord His deserved place and must fear Him. The Lord could make anyone respect Him, anyone fear Him, anyone love Him, listen to Him, and anything else he might desire. He could make you. Don't you know that? Well, why hasn't He? Why doesn't He? Why? Because He is merciful and gracious and remembers that we are flesh. That's a big one right there. We are flesh. We are creatures that have been created. We are created beings. We are not like God. We're not everlasting. from everlasting to everlasting. Now we have everlasting life and we're going to live forever because of the Lord and what He's done. But we're creatures. We're creatures. And Psalm chapter 78, listen to this. But He, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned He His anger away and did not stir up all of His wrath. For He remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. God's not like that. God doesn't have a death date. God does not live in time. God does not have a grave to look forward to. God is alive. God is life. He's eternal. We're not, with exception of our relationship with the Lord now. You see the difference? So God can do anything He wants to do. Also, He is a God that wants to be, He's a God that wants to be feared and respected and loved because His subjects recognize who He is and willingly want to fear and love and respect Him, which is natural and truthful. The same way you want to be loved, respected, and feared where you should be, so does the Lord. He wants to be loved and respected and feared because that's what's right. And that's the way things are and as it is. The difference is, though, God could make it happen if He chose to. He could make you scared to death. He could scare you every day of your life for the rest of your time you breathe. And He's done that. The scriptures, we've read that. We've read where the Lord sent out, I don't know exactly how to explain it, but He sent it out and said fear itself would chase somebody. Explain that one. Man misuses fear. God speaks truth when it comes to fear. Man lies. And he deceives, and he misuses fear for fleshly and sinful purposes. Don't you know that? God fear and man fear are not the same, and the Holy Scriptures declare this truth. God is fair and pure with fear, and does not manipulate it. Now, all that being said, let's take a look at what the Bible teaches about not fearing. Now, what is fearlessness? Let's see a definition of it. Fearlessness. Feeling no fear. Oblivious of dangers, perils, or calmly resolute in facing them. Not being scared of them when you could be scared of them, but calmly resolute in facing them. Invulnerable to fear or intimidation. It's not that you cannot fear, it's that you don't fear because of certain circumstances. Feeling no fear, oblivious of dangers, perils, and calmly resolute in facing them. That's not a situation in the world today. People talk to a good talk. I ain't scared. No fear, no fear. Oh boy, that's a big one. That's even a good example of our study right now. One of the biggest companies that came out, and you remember, is called the No Fear Company. Put out hats and jeans and shoes and anything else they could put. No fear, no fear, no fear. What do you mean, no fear? If there's no fear, then why do you have to put it out all over the world and remind yourself and sell things to others to remind themselves, no fear? You see that? You see how that thing is? There are many instances in both the Old and New Testament where it is spoken, fear not. The Bible teaches us to fear not and speaks of it many, many times. You say, well, I thought the Bible taught us to fear. It does. Both are true. And you'll see that. So this should be at least, this should at least show us that God is not an ogre sort of a God that sits around waiting for an opportunity to make someone scared of him. It's not the way God is. On the other hand, we see that when people do encounter the Lord, many times in the scriptures, they end up on their faces to the earth. There's many times in the scriptures where people encounter God, and the very next scripture says he fell on his face to the earth. I think that is the natural reaction to actually meeting God himself for a human being. And you see that many times in the scriptures where God didn't tell them to bow down. He didn't tell them to fall on their face. It was a natural thing for somebody that was wise enough to know who they were standing in front of. And they fell on their face to the earth. That's found in a lot of places. You know, the world, the flesh, and the devil make it a mission to figure out ways to keep people scared and fearing. It's marketing. Scaring people and causing people to fear is profitable. And leave it to man to figure that one out. God doesn't have to have any profit from anything. God lives in reality. He lives in truth. There is no darkness in him at all. You know, if that wasn't so, and it is so, then the Lord would not have spent so much time recording the scriptures telling folks not to fear. If there was no such thing as fear and man trying to scare the dickens out of everybody and everything in the world everybody in the world and everything in the world and sin and the devil and the flesh and everything else just doing nothing but mustering fear in the world. And if it wasn't so, then the Lord wouldn't have spent as much time as he does in the scriptures telling folks not to fear. It's been said that one mark of a mature child of God is knowing what to fear and knowing what not to fear. You see, there's a big difference right there. Now, let's get this fear matter of the scriptures right in our minds and in our hearts, and let's move into it and find out something about this not fearing and fearlessness. Now, we've talked about fear. It is true and it is factual. And it is Holy Ghost spoken and inspired in the scripture. We've talked about the fear of God. And it is real. It is Holy Ghost inspired and taught to us. And it is factual in the scriptures. Fearlessness and not fearing is factual in the scriptures. Both are true. The Bible tells us to fear, and it tells us not to fear. The wise man figures out what it is that he is supposed to fear and what it is that he is not supposed to fear, and then he gets it right. You see that thing? All right, so let's begin. Some origins of fearlessness. Not fearing. Some origins. Let's look at some origins in the scriptures of fearlessness. For instance, not fearing comes or originates from believing God and his word. That's a fundamental in the Christian life, brothers and sisters. One reason Christians walk around, and I'm one of them, and that the devil gets his way with us, and the flesh gets its way with us, and the world gets their way with us, comes from not believing God and his word. You don't believe God and His Word, you're going to get scared and you're going to fear. An origin or not fearing originates and comes from believing God and His Word. The more you believe God and the more you believe His Word, the less fear and the less afraid you will be. Period. Listen to this. Let's look at some scripture. In the Bible's chapter, in the book of Numbers, chapter 13, listen to this. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it." This is where the 10 spies come, or the spies come back. And Caleb and Joshua, the only two out of the 12 that speak up for the children of Israel and try to encourage them, "Let's go get it. God said it's ours. It's there. We've seen the land. It's beautiful. Let's go get it." But 10 of them discouraged the people. Now listen to this. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants and the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, "Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, and would God that we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore had the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey?" Now, their wives and their children wasn't no prey. This is just stuff that they're starting to say because of the report of the 10 that just gave the negative report. Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, "Let us make us a captain, and let us return into Egypt." Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel, and Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, "The land which we passed through to search it is exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us..." Now get this part of it right here. This is what we're talking about not fearing and fearlessness. And not fearing originating from believing God and His Word. Listen to what these guys say. "The land which we passed through to search it..." Now get it, the whole congregation's scared to death now. They think they're fixing to be... their wives and their kids are fixing to be fallen by the sword and all this blah, 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 because of the words of these other 10 knuckleheads. But listen to what these guys say. "The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, believing God and His Word." The origin, remember? For not fearing. Why were the people scared? Because they hadn't brought God into the picture. This was just a report from those 10 people. Now, Aaron and Moses and Joshua and Caleb, they're bringing God into the picture. Only rebel not against the Lord. Neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Did you get that? And it ain't no different than today, brothers and sisters. One reason that you're scared and you get scared is because you stop believing God, or you quit believing God and you believe some other cockamamie, some other foolishness that you hear some majority talking. The majority is often wrong. God is right. His word is right. And you've known that since you've been saved. And one reason that you get scared is because you leave the origin. You leave what you've been taught. An origin of fearlessness, not fearing, is believing God and His Word. Remember that. What else? Well, let's look at another one. Here's another one. It's found in 2 Chronicles. Let me read this to you. And my reading's kind of scrambled today, so I'm not making real good sense, just bear with me. 2 Chronicles. Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about not fearing. What's the Bible teach us about not fearing? What did it just teach us? To trust the Lord. Don't rebel against Him. And don't fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Now, that was a whole different opinion than them other 10, wasn't it? Their defenses departed from them. They can't fight. They can't stand before us. And the Lord is with us. And then what he say in three words? Fear them not. That's a whole different attitude altogether, isn't it? Not fearing comes from believing God and believing His Word. What has God taught you? What has the Holy Ghost taught you since you've been saved? Why are you scared? Why are you fearing? And I'm speaking for myself, and I'm asking myself these questions. Listen to 2 Chronicles chapter 32. After these things, the establishment thereof, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered into Judah and encamped against the fenced city. Sennacherib and his crowd, his army, they're going around the city. They're surrounded by the city, and they're fixing to try to scare the pants off of Hezekiah that's in the city, and thought to win them for himself. And when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib was come, that he was purposed to fight against Jerusalem, he took counsel with his princes and his mighty men to stop the waters of the fountains, which were without the city, and they did help him. So there was gathered much people together who stopped all the fountains and the brooks that ran through the midst of the land, saying, Why should the kings of Assyria come and find much water? Also he strengthened himself and built up all the wall that was broken, and raised it up to the towers and another wall without, and repaired Milo in the city of David, and made darts and shields in abundance. He's getting ready. And he set captains of war over the people, and gathered them together to him in the street of the gate of the city, and spake comfortably to them, saying, Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him. For there be more with us than with him. With him is the arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. It's a whole different outlook, ain't it? And the people rested themselves upon, listen to this, get it, upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. He said, we're going to trust God. We're going to, God fights our battles, and we're going to trust God, and there's more with us than there are with him. And the people trusted the words that Hezekiah spoke about God. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. After this, did Sennacherib, king of Assyria, send his servants to Jerusalem. He himself laid siege against Lachish and all his power with him, unto Hezekiah, king of Judah, and unto all Judah that were at Jerusalem, saying, thus saith Sennacherib, king of Assyria, whereon do ye trust that ye abide in the siege in Jerusalem? Doth not Hezekiah persuade you to give over yourselves to die by famine and by thirst, saying, the Lord our God shall deliver us out of the land of the king of Assyria? He's trying to turn it against them now. He found out that Hezekiah encouraged the people and told them, trust God. God's going to fight our battles. And this guy here is telling them, is Hezekiah trying to persuade you to trust some God? Now listen to what else he says. And not the same Hezekiah taken away his high places and his altars and commanded Judah and Jerusalem, saying, ye shall worship before one altar and burn incense upon it. You see, now he's trying to get into the religion, and Hezekiah straightened everything up. They were doing it wrong before on the high places, and Hezekiah straightened it up. But this guy here is saying, look what Hezekiah is doing, making you do it this way and do it this way, trying to put fear in them. Listen to what else he says. Know ye not what I and my fathers have done unto all the people of other lands? Were the gods of the nations of those lands any ways able to deliver their lands out of mine hand? Who was there among all the gods of those nations that my fathers utterly destroyed that could deliver his people out of mine hand, that your God should be able to deliver you out of mine hand? Ooh. Sound like some of this crowd today, doesn't it? That's exactly what this world does today and what the devil does and what your flesh would try to get away with if you let it. Now, therefore, let not Hezekiah deceive you. Oh, now Hezekiah is trying to deceive everybody, trying to encourage them to trust God and let him fight the battle. Let not Hezekiah deceive you, nor persuade you on this manner, neither yet believe him. For no God of any nation or kingdom was able to deliver his people out of mine hand and out of the hand of my fathers. How much less shall your God deliver you out of my hand? Now he's getting in the ring with the Lord. You see this thing? And this is just how bold the enemy's crowd is, to try to put fear in you. And his servants spake yet more against the Lord God and against the servant, his servant Hezekiah. He wrote also letters to rail on the Lord God of Israel and to speak against him, saying, as the gods of the nations of other lands have not delivered their people out of mine hand, so shall not the God of Hezekiah deliver his people out of mine hand. Then they cried with a loud voice in the Jews' speech unto the people of Jerusalem that were on the wall, to affright them and to trouble them, that they might take the city, trying to scare them so they can get the advantage. You see that? And even talked about God and blasphemed God and said, come on, God, let's get it on. And they spake against the God of Jerusalem as against the gods of the people of the earth, which were the work of the hands of men. And for this cause, Hezekiah, the king, and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, prayed and cried to heaven. You see that thing? You see where the believers are going? And the Lord sent an angel, which cut off all the mighty men of valor and the leaders and the captains in the camp of the king of Assyria. So he returned with shame of face to his own land. And when he was come into the house of his God, they that came forth of his own bowels slew him there with the sword. Thus the Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, and from the hand of all other, and guided them on every side. What are we talking about? We're talking about fearlessness. Talking about not fearing. How it originates. How do you get where you don't fear? From believing God's word. From believing God and believing God's word. You see, it's not an uncommon thing for the world and the enemy and the governments and everybody else to try to scare the pants off of you and tell you that your God is not powerful enough to do what he says he can do. He's just like all the other gods that are statues and glass and stone and all these other things, just like all these other religions. He can't defend you and he can't take up for you. You better be scared of us. But the Lord said that he ordered one angel, go down there and take care of that knucklehead, that loud mouth down there. Go down there and take care of him. And he did. And he said he went home shame-faced. And when he went into his own little old godly, and went in there to worship his own God, probably crying, and why'd you let this happen to me? Some fake statue up there. His kids come and killed him. His own children. How about that? Hot shot. You done killed all the other gods and everybody else, and no god's able to stand up to you. This God did. And as a matter of fact, he didn't even come down personally. He sent one of his angels to take care of you. That's just how strong and fearful you are. Young brothers and sisters, from believing God and believing his word. Believing God and believing his word. That is where not fearing originates. One place that fearing originates. What else? Well, listen to what John chapter 14 verse 1 says. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. One thing, brothers and sisters, that the Lord has given us is himself so that we don't have to fear. We don't have to be scared. We don't have to be walk around scared with our tail tucked between our legs all the time because of the challenges and the threats and all the stupid stuff that the world tries to do. We know what they are and we know what they do. And we know what they try and we know how they want to scare us and make us not believe and trust in our God. But they're fools because they ain't got any idea how powerful God is. We do. We know what God can do. We don't know what God's going to do or what his choices are, but we know God can defend us, and we know he can take up for us, and he will take up for us. The Bible says that it is that the Lord takes pleasure and recompensing them that trouble us. The Lord gets pleasure out of paying back smart-mouthed people like Sennacherib and blasphemers like him that stand up and run their mouth about and try to scare the pants off of God's people. And he'll show them who he is, too. He did him. Not fearing. Fearlessness. Let not your heart be troubled. Don't be scared. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. You believe in God. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. In Acts chapter 27, verse 22 through 26, the Bible says, "And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you." You remember this. This is Paul when he was shipwrecked, when he was about to be shipwrecked. He was on that ship, and all those couple hundred guys that was on there with him were scared to death because this big storm was coming in and wrecking the ship and tearing the ship all to pieces. And the Lord come down and told Paul that he was going to save all the guys' lives on there and save his life, and no man was going to die. This is where it takes up. "I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island." Paul told him straight. He said, "God told me ain't nobody gonna die. Just stay on the ship. Nobody's gonna die." Everybody was scared to death. Those guys were scared to death. Talking about fearlessness, where it originates. It originates from believing God and believing His Word. None of those guys died. You know why? Because they listened to Paul, because Paul believed God and believed what God said. He said, for I believe God, and that it shall be even as it was told me. And that's exactly the way you and I should be thinking concerning this life and concerning living for the Lord and concerning the challenges that the enemy tries to put before us and the fear that everything in this life tries to weigh us down with. Believe in God. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. We believe our Lord. We believe what the Bible tells us. We trust in it. We believe God and believe the Word of God. That's why we're studying right now, right? What else? What else is an origin? An origin. Where does not fearing or fearlessness originate? It not only originates from believing God and believing His Word, but it also originates from a challenge of duty. A challenge of duty. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, for example, Exodus chapter 1. And verse 15 through 21. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of one was Shiphrah, and the name of the other Puah. And he said, when you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, this is where they're given birth, if it be a son, then you shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, why have you done this thing and have saved the men children alive? And the midwife said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. Therefore, God dealt well with the midwives. And the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that He made them houses. God blessed them. From a challenge of duty, it was their duty to do right. They didn't fear the king. They did right. They did what was the right thing. They feared God. What's our study about? Fear and fear of the Lord. The Hebrew midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them. Why? Because it was murder. I'm not going to go in there and kill a bunch of Hebrew babies. And then when the king asked them why they didn't do what they was told, they said, because when we get in the room, the women already had the babies. And we'd have to kill the babies in front of them. You see, they obeyed the Lord and obeyed the fear that they had for the Lord. A challenge of duty. It was their duty to do right. And the Bible tells us, as brothers and sisters in Christ, when ye have done all that ye can do, say ye, it was our duty to do. It was our duty. It was the least that we could do. It was our duty. That's the least we can do. What else? Well, Exodus chapter 32 shows us something too. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And he said unto them, now this is when Moses and Joshua was up on the mountain with God. And when they were coming down, they heard a great noise sound like war. Joshua said it sounded like war. And Moses said, that ain't war. That's a stinking wicked party going on. And God told him to get out off the mountain. He's going to kill every one of them. But if Moses hadn't took up for them, God probably would have. And he said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. And when Moses came down off of the mountain, this is where this picks up. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves unto him. And he said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword in his side and go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp and slay every man and his brother and every man his companion and every man and his neighbor. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. For Moses had said, consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, even every man upon his son and upon his brother, that ye may bestow upon you a blessing this day. Comes from the challenge of duty. They were doing right, honoring the Lord. Here's another scripture in the book of Acts. Listen to this. What are we talking about? We're talking about the origins of fearlessness, not fearing. We're not talking about fearing or the fear of God. We're talking about not fearing. What does the Bible teach us? Where's not fearing come from and what is it about? Well, from believing God's word and from believing God and believing his word. That's how we don't fear. It comes from a challenge of duty, of knowing that we ought to do right. Knowing that we ought to do right. In Acts chapter 5, listen to this. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. They didn't have to bring Jesus' blood upon them. They invited it. Let his blood be upon us and our children before, remember that? Now they're saying that these guys are bringing the blood, and they was being convicted is what they was. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Then stood up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space, and said unto them, Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. After that rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded them, I ain't laughing about them being beaten, I'm laughing because, you know, I mean, they take counsel to say, okay, well, we're going to trust God, and we're going to let these guys go, and we're going to see what becomes of it, but they beat them because, just because they're affiliated with Jesus. And that's the way the world is, man. Lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed, and when they called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Now get that. They suffered shame for his name. They were not ashamed of his name. They suffered shame. People were, shame on you, shame on you. They suffered shame. But they were not ashamed of the Lord. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Not to preach and teach Jesus Christ. You see that? It comes from the challenge of duty. These guys could have folded. They could have said, okay, we won't talk in Jesus' name no more. We won't say nothing about Jesus. We told you not to be preaching and teaching in this man's name, and you're trying to bring this blood guilt upon all of us and everything else. And Peter told them, should we obey you or obey God? We're witnesses of what Jesus did. And we know the Lord, and we know he's true. And they set them aside and agreed to let them go and see what happened after. And then they beat them, and they sent them out, and what'd they do? And daily in the temple and every house, they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. Notice one thing that it says in there. It says, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing. Not scared, not fearing, but rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and every house, they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. Well, wait a minute. They just got counseled and brought before the high court and were beaten and threatened. And they left there rejoicing and went back to preaching and teaching. That's not being scared. That's not fearing from a challenge of duty. They knew who Jesus was. They'd been around him. They loved him. They know that they were saved. They know what Jesus has done, and they know what he's doing. And they seen all of it. And they went through all of it. And these clowns up here in these big seats that are running their mouths about this and that and the other don't have any idea what they're talking about. And they're not going to intimidate us and make us scared and fearful. An origin or where not fearing comes from, brothers and sisters, is from believing God and believing his word and from a challenge of your duty. It's your duty not to be scared of the things that try to turn you away from your Lord and turn you away from the Word of God and turn you away from fellowship and turn you away from things like that and from your duty. Like the Bible says, we have done that which the least that we can do. It's our duty. It's our duty. All right. Well, I think we're going to stop right there. We got one more. Let me go ahead and do that. Let's do this one more. What are we talking about? We're talking about some origins of fearlessness. Not fearing in this study of fear and fear of the Lord. Not fearing. Well, it comes from believing God and his word. It comes from a challenge of duty, just like those midwives and like the apostles whenever they were threatened by the council and watch out for that board, watch out for the board of directors and watch out for the council and all that sort of business. Watch out for that. And I mean that. I'm telling you, watch out for that. But here's one more. From a regard for God's holiness. From a regard for God's holiness. What? Well, an origin, not fearing, originates from having a regard for God's holiness. Realizing that God is holy. He's not like human beings. Human beings, they can't do what God does. No matter who they think they are, they might have some power down here over others, but no matter who they think they are, they're not God. And no matter what Satan gives people the ability to do down here and deceives them into thinking that they're somebody, the Lord said, "Fear not them which kill the flesh and have kill the body and have nothing else that they can do." He said, "But rather I forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him, which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell." And God's power goes beyond death, friend. That's the difference in man's gods and God himself, is that man's power stops at death. He kill all the people he wants to kill, but Hitler's dead. Marx is dead. All the troublemakers in history are dead, and they ain't bothering nobody no more. No power. They had power when they was breathing, and their blood was flowing. But when they took that last breath, everything ended. That's not like God. From a regard for God's holiness. Let me read this to you. Numbers chapter 25. Numbers chapter 25 says, "And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bowed down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, Take all the heads of the people, and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, Slay ye every one his men that were joined to Baal Peor. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand, and he went after the man and of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman, through their belly. Now, how do you suppose he stabbed both of them through their belly at the same time? What was they up to? So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel, and those that died in the plague were 20,000. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, hath turned my wrath away from the children of Israel, while he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consumed not the children of Israel in my jealousy. From a regard for God's holiness. That's where not fearing comes from. Is believing who God is and honoring Him for who He is and honoring Him for His holiness. I mean, they're standing out there and the Lord's reprimanding and He's commanding Moses to get all the men together that joined Baal Peor and joined these Israelites knew better. And they went over there and started worshiping these other gods and bowing down to them and eating their food and stuff like that and sacrificing unto their gods. And the Lord said, enough! Go get them and kill them. And while they were doing that, this clown comes out of nowhere and brings this Midianitish woman, this is a woman of those gods, and brings her and gives her to a man, and he takes her in the tent, and whatever they're doing in there, right in front of everybody. And Phinehas sees this thing. And it burns him up, man. And he takes a javelin, and he goes in there, and he shish kebabs both of them, whatever they were doing, right through the belly, both of their bellies. Now, you use your imagination for that. But what did the Lord say about it? He said, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, hath turned my wrath away from the children of Israel, while he was zealous for my sake among them. He bragged on him that I consume not the children of Israel in my jealousy. He said, I can kill everybody. He said, he stopped this. He stopped me from killing everybody. Only 24,000 died because he recognized my holiness. Where does not fearing God, not being scared and not fearing come from? It comes from a regard for God's holiness. Regarding God's holiness. That God is God. And you don't just let any old thing go on. You see that thing? We're talking about not fearing. How do we not fear according to the Scriptures? Well, according to the Scriptures, if you don't want to fear and you want to be fearless properly, not arrogantly and not proudly, but properly, not fear, it comes from believing God and believing His Word. It comes from a challenge of duty. Knowing in yourself that you have a duty as a Christian, as a child of God, and a new set of rules that you live by. And it also comes from regarding God's holiness. Regarding God's holiness. Amen? So, not fearing. Got us a good start on this, didn't we? Amen. All right, well, we're going to stop right there. Let me give you the scriptures for today's class. And we'll move on. And on our next class, we'll talk about some examples of not fearing. People that properly did not fear in a godly way. In a godly way. And we'll see that. Here's the scriptures. Psalm chapter 78, verse 38 through 39. Numbers chapter 13, verse 30 through chapter 14, 9. That's what it is. Okay. Next, 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 1 through 22. Next is John chapter 14, verse 1. Acts chapter 27, verse 22 through 26. Exodus chapter 1, verse 15 through 21. Exodus chapter 32, verse 26 through 29. Acts chapter 5, verse 27 through 42. And Numbers chapter 25, verse 1 through 11. A lot of scripture we read today, but that's good stuff. It makes sense and it makes things clear, doesn't it? It makes things clear. Does the Bible teach us that we don't have to be scared? Yes, it does. It showed us some instances of not fearing or fearlessness in the scriptures today. And where does that come from? From believing God and believing His Word, and from a challenge of duty and recognizing who we are and recognizing who God is and what our duty is to Him and for Him. And from a regard for God's holiness, a regard for God's holiness, giving Him the respect that He deserves for His holiness and His majesty, and recognizing Him for who He is. You don't want to be scared. You don't want to fear and be walking around scared like Sennacherib and all the rest of them, and the council and the board of directors and all them sort of people try to scare the death out of you and scare you this and scare you that and all that. Just keep regarding God's holiness. Find it a challenge of duty to serve the Lord and serve Him properly and walk before Him and do the things that are pleasing in His sight. And believe God. And believe His Word. Amen? All right. Well, there you go. Praise the Lord. Good stuff. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful truth. Praise the Lord for His Word. Well, be encouraged. And don't fear. You don't have to fear. You don't have to fear man and fear things that God doesn't want you to fear. And we're going to study some more about that when we come back together on the next one, okay? This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Grove. Thank you for honoring the Lord and studying His Word and fearing Him. And then not being scared of those that try to make you scared. When God's not the one that's trying to make you scared. God doesn't want you to be scared. He wants you to rejoice and be glad in Him. And if you're sincere and you mean business with the Lord, you should be rejoicing. And we'll talk some more about this fear matter when we come back again, okay? It's Brother Thurman. I'll talk to you on the next one. Bye-bye.